So may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. That gospel reading has always got an interesting twist whenever I hear it in my mind. In my previous parish, we would have a full altar party, which would have acolytes and a crucifer. And the acolytes had a terrible habit of forgetting to replenish the oil in the lamps. And a number of times that I would go forward and I'd watch the candles either side of me, and reading the gospel would fizzle out just at that particular moment, and I would go back into the vestry afterwards and just remind him of that particular passage in the scriptures. It would always stay with me. But that's not where I'm going with my sermon this morning. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, you've probably noticed that last week we had a bit of a colour change around the place. We went from green to red. I'm quite a fan of the liturgical year. The reason being is it provides space in our lives for us to actually embrace the reality of our lives. Does that make sense to you? It provides space in our lives to embrace the reality of our lives. And I don't know about you, but when the alarm went off at 7 o'clock this morning, I did rather want to pull the quilt back up again, and the dog snuggled up extra closely towards me. And I find, don't know about you, but this time I just wonder that somewhere in my DNA I've got a bit of bear from the perspective of I like to, or would quite happily hibernate from November through to March. And as the days darken and as the weather sort of not so good, and you know, you feel the cold biting, particularly if you wear sandals, actually I think it's quite appropriate that as the days go darker that actually we give space in our lives for us to be sad. It's a part of life. I was talking to the children at St. Chad's School this week about happy memories and sad memories. And the truth of the matter is that most of us, if not all of us, have got sad memories. And it is part of being human to be sad. And sometimes I think it's important that we give ourselves permission to be sad. You just cannot be happy all the time. I know we like the feeling of being happy more than we like the feeling of sad, unless you're a male over 55 years old who just likes being grumpy. But actually we can have permission for that. But actually having a season where we can collectively reflect on the reality of death, of sadness, of loss, and all those things. And I think this period, at the end of the year of the kingdom period, we can do that. So we remember in this period those of the saints who've gone to glory. We start to focus our eyes upon heaven a bit more. We allow this into our lives. Secondly, we are aware of all souls, for example. So we remember, like we did last week, those that we love who are in heaven at this particular day. And today we reflect on those whose lives have been lost, not through their fault, but through conflict and through war, and for violence perpetrated against people. And I am so grateful that the faith that I have and the faith that we have is one that gives space for that. Right in the middle of our Christian story is this man, Christ Jesus, who violence has happened to him and violence has been poured out upon him. And one day I want to tell you all about the wonders of René Girard and mimetic atonement theory, but I won't go there today. But there is a good telling of the gospel where actually we see the violence that happened to Jesus was humankind finally finding a place to put our violence, and God taking it and through love transforming it into resurrection. So I suppose the question I want to ask you today is, do you struggle with today? I don't know if there are any other veterans here. And probably for those who are younger, actually the experience of war is out of your experience. This feels somewhat distant to you. Those of you who are much older may well remember the Second World War or all the other wars. And there's some things, aspects of Remembrance Day or Remembrance Sunday that I don't know are that positive. So, for example, the words from the famous Wilfred Owen poem, Dulce et decorum est pro patria mori, which means it's a good thing to die for your country, is something that I think sometimes we need to reflect on. Even that greatly loved hymn that's often sung on Remembrance Sunday, I vow to thee my country, I cannot find myself singing these words. We sacrifice upon the altar our dearest and our best. Something wrong with those words, where as adults we would want to sacrifice our children in war. Something tells me deep within me that it's wrong. Or even the exaltation of nationalism. And as we saw yesterday, tragically, in our news, it gets hijacked by right-wing forces. So here I am in this kind of interesting dilemma that I'm a veteran of 9 years military service. My father served for nearly 25 years in the Royal Navy, and my grandfather was decorated in the Second World War. Every Remembrance Service, I'm taken back to Cross MacLennan in Northern Ireland, and I can still hear in my mind the explosion that left me deafened for hours and literally burned my friend alive. I can still see in my mind's eye another friend trying to smother the flames as our comrade burned. I still recall the arrangements for another comrade, this time killed by a nail bomb in West Belfast, having his body repatriated to Devon, and his wife and kids making the journey home. So I want to hold on to Remembrance Day, because I think it's important that I remember the sacrifice that people met. But I'm not sure I want to remember the collective madness of war. The blood, the gore, and the subsequent agony of mental torture in the peace. And for 10 years after my return from Northern Ireland, they didn't have a name for it then, but I suffered with the symptoms of PTSD. And for 10 years I would suffer with flashbacks and night terrors and all sorts of things. Because war does not end on the day that peace is declared. And that's why we have Remembrance Sunday. Because there is maybe peace, but the war for some people has not ended and is still real and still with them. And the levels still today of the number of veteran suicides is still far too high. I believe we need to evolve. Because the truth of the matter is that since the 39-45 war, pretty much every war that has taken place has been around who controls the oil. Who controls the oil? The two bloodiest world wars, one for coal, one for oil. That's what went on. And what we see now, whether it has been the war against Daesh and ISIS, the war in Syria, Ukraine, Yemen, Northern Nigeria, Libya, Palestine, even what we are seeing going on today now is for who controls the commodities. And what we do as human beings is this, is that we create what we call a theatre of war, a place wherein we will act out our violence towards one another. And often we will put it into a place that actually isn't the homeland of either side. And so we see this in Ukraine, we see this particularly in Yemen, we actually see this going on in northern Nigeria, because it is for the control of resources and where the wealth goes forward. We may not reflect on this that much, but this new century has, in my estimation, been one of the most violent in all of history. Of the 23 years so far of this century, 22 of them, there has been major armed conflict. For 22 years, we have just got used to there being war. And so we have to say to ourselves, actually, I would love to say to us, I think the future will be better. But I'm not truly hopeful. Because as the effects of climate change increase, as we see the struggle for more and more humans looking for less and less resources, particularly food and water, then the nature of the violence may well change. And we notice that when people's economies are threatened, the violence increases. And so we have to reflect on how are we to conduct ourselves as believers when we are living in a violent war. Well, very simply, as Christians, we wage peace. We care for the victims of war, be they refugees or former combatants. Yes, that even includes our enemies. We recognize our own wounds, then we reach towards our enemies with forgiveness and kindness, because we see their wounds as well. We see the common humanity even in our enemy. We see the common humanity in the other, because the other is also created in the image of God. And I think maybe we need to reflect on this. But countries such as Germany and Japan have borne the guilt of their wars for too long. And so we also should love Muslims. We also, even though we may be against the acts that Hamas perpetrate, the people are a different matter. And so we should also be with the Zionists. Because there's something fundamentally wrong with throwing people off their land and doing it through violence. And so we have to say to ourselves, where do we stand? Because the pressure that can be upon us as human beings is, we stand on this side or we stand on that side. Well, the place we stand is, we stand at the foot of the cross. We stand at the foot of the cross of Jesus, where violence is met with love. And this is what we should do. And so we recognize that in Ukraine and in Palestine, the just war theory that St. Augustine of Hippo is just not working anymore. In Palestine, we are seeing that the Convention of Human Rights and even the Geneva Convention is being completely flouted. And so it seems that the rules of war have gone out the window. Even just war has gone out the window, as we see gross misconduct. So I wonder if we need to go to other people for an example. Well, you may guess that I am going to one person in particular, St. Francis of Assisi, and I don't know if you know this particular story about him, but in 1220 he went to the Fifth Crusade that was at that time was in Egypt and Damietta, and he purposely went to call the Christians to repent of their violence towards the Muslims. Now, he nearly got himself strung up for it by the Christians. He then crossed the lines into the Muslim camp in Damietta to preach the gospel, expecting to get martyred. He wasn't. He was received with love. He was received with openness. And the Sultan, who was the cousin of Saladin, received him, and actually they spent so much time talking with one another that actually we think we may have got our hoods from that, and other influences came into the Franciscan tradition through our interaction with the Sufi Muslims that he encountered. Our cousins in the Society of Friends, or the Quakers that we know of, have taken a line of peacemaking ever since. And we can make a line of great saints down the ages who have gone down the peacemaking line. Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and others even today. We see, for example, in Shane Claiborne, we see Christians who down the line have taken this middle line of standing at the foot of the cross, not taking sides, and actually calling people back to peace. And so now we must, I believe, as we celebrate or as we reflect and as we call actually even ourselves to repentance, there needs to be within us all a commitment to peace. May God make us a channel of his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.